I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning. It's a monsoon in the tri-state area as the remnants of the hurricane is hitting us. And it is a monsoon with the Giants right now of garbage because last night, the New York Giants, in a must-win game to save their season, came out and gave you nothing. In the second half of this game, Troy Aikman was saying it, everybody was thinking it, the Giants were disinterested in playing football. And how they got there? Terrible defense, terrible offense, terrible quarterback play, terrible offensive line play. And the Giants are sitting here at 1-5 with their season over, and once again, in back-to-back years, are the laughingstock of the NFL. The New York Giants, one of the proudest organizations in sports, is backing up the worst year in their history with a year that might be worse. So, your decision to draft Saquon Barkley, you think it looked good last night because he went off? Think again, because this was the reason, the exact reason why you don't draft Saquon Barkley number two, because the guy has 100 yards rushing, almost 100 yards receiving, and you got your ass kicked up and down the field. What does that do for you? Nothing. The Philadelphia Eagles lose running backs left and right. Doesn't matter. Smallwood, Clement, Sproles, Ajayi's got a torn ACL. They might trade for this guy, that guy. Doesn't matter. They kicked your ass. They saved their season. You're done. Good morning, Boomer.
It's over. It's over.
Oh, boy. Man, I don't know where to start after that. I will say this. That Troy Aikman was right. I mean, he called it out. I mean, and usually you don't hear guys in the TV level doing that. They, you know, the Chris Collinsworths of the world, the Troy Aikmans of the world, you know, whether it be Tony Romo or Phil Sims or anybody, normally they don't go all in the way Troy went in all last night. And I'm sure Giant fans are like, oh, you know, it's a former Cowboy quarterback. That's crap. He saw what we all saw, and he basically called it out. He said the defense was not rallying to the football. There was no energy there. He's right. He's 100% right. He has every right to say it. That's why he gets paid to do what he does. I mean, we're all sitting there, just like you just said, saying the same thing. Eli's arm looked like a noodle. I don't know how many more wide receiver screens and bubble screens you can throw. Saquon Barkley is an awesome, awesome player. There is no discounting that fact that when you watch him and the way that he runs, you're like, holy crap, man, that guy is super special. The Giants have the same problem that the Cowboys have. They have a quarterback that can't make a play. They just have a quarterback that can't do it anymore. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, we've been talking about this for years and years and years, it seems like. And it's obvious. And you know, nobody wants to dump on Eli. Yeah, we all love him. We all respect him. We all know that he was a Super Bowl champion. And it's hard for guys like me and Troy and other quarterbacks, Phil Sims, other guys, just to sit and dump on a guy. But it's obvious. And it has been obvious. The accuracy is not there. That's why he threw the interception in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
It was an inaccurate throw. The underthrows down the sideline, and I get it. Odell Beckham Jr. is a mercurial lunatic who is going to be snapping off at a moment's notice. And I guess he wants the ball. He wants the ball thrown to him. And by the way, your head coach is snapping on the sideline too, by the way. I don't know if you saw a couple of the sideline cuts of him.
Yeah,
Pat Shermer! And he's snapping too now.
Well, he's come off horribly in the beginning of the season. And I really like the guy. I know
why he's snapping, because there's no energy on that offense. And when you look at the Eagles and you look at the Giants, the biggest difference between the two teams, and you just pointed it out, is that the Eagles don't have any running backs, and they have a great quarterback, a young, vibrant, guy's got escapability, the guy that makes plays after plays. And by the way, he was under duress last night. Yes. How many times did Kareem Martin hit him?
Well, how about the fact there was a third down, Wentz rolls out, avoids the pressure, looks down the field, still threw a duck, but found Nelson Aguilar conversion. Well, but still, though.
That's what happens when you have an escapability
exactly.
quarterback that can get away from a rush. And, you know, look, I think that Janoris Jenkins and Eli Apple played like crap last night, too. But that one's not on Eli Apple. Why? Because he's running around back there for 7 seconds. That's all him. That's all a healthy Carson Wentz. And Eli can't and doesn't do that. And there's no, it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. And, you know, when they fired Ben McAdoo and they fired Jerry Reese and the whole political outring about the offensive line sucks and it's not Eli's fault and he benches himself because he doesn't want to go through, what he would consider like, you know, after the first half. You know, let me explain to people something, why quarterbacks do what Eli did last year. You know, if you were presented a situation where a coach came to you and said, look, if we're not in these games at halftime, I'm going to bench you because we got to look at the other quarterbacks. The owner wants to see the quarterbacks. And maybe the message was fumbled. Maybe it wasn't handled right or whatever. And then, of course, Eli goes home. And he thinks about it, probably talks to his dad, probably talks to Peyton. That's what I would do.
Well, he told us as much. That's what he did.
Right. Yeah. You have that in your life. You have to use that in your life, okay? And you have to use that as advice, but you still ultimately have to make your decision. And I think what he did, he went back and he said, look, you know what? I don't want to start under those conditions to preserve my streak. So that's a very laudable thing to say, right? Mm-hmm. That's a very, wow, that's really great. That's professional that, you know, it's not, he doesn't want it to be about his streak. He wants it to be about the Giants because this is bigger than he is, right? The reason he said that is because I believe, and most quarterbacks would probably feel this way, that if I go out there, my team doesn't score any points in the first half, and then Davis Webb or Geno Smith comes on the field and they score 21 points in the second half, then that's going to show that it's all me. That's the problem here. So I don't want to ever give the Giants that opportunity to put me in that situation, show that the other guys are more energetic than I am and better than I am and moving the ball down the field. That's the political part of the game that was played here last year. And it cost two guys their jobs. As a matter of fact, it cost Tom Coughlin his job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I don't know what the hell John Mara is looking at. And I know he can look at those Super Bowl trophies and go,
it's not what he's looking at. It's what he's hearing. That's the problem. He stopped looking and he started listening. And he listened too much to the fans and he reacted to that and how angry people were last year. Then the Philadelphia game happened and they convinced themselves with confirmation bias that Eli Manning could still play. And I think
I like it. Confirmation bias.
Right. Well, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted a reason for Eli to be the quarterback after that went down, and then they got it. How many times did we hear Shermer and Gettleman and Mara in the offseason? That Philadelphia game last year wasn't a mirage. Well, maybe it was. And here's the worst part about everything that's going on this morning in this season with the Giants. Last year was supposed to be washed away. It was not supposed to be talked about any longer. You got a new head coach, a new general manager. You picked what's supposed to be a Hall of Famer, according to your new general manager, with the second overall pick. You wiped out all these guys from the locker room, and you were supposed to come back and go worst to first this year because of all the other things that were going on in the division, and this team's the same team. How are they the same team as they were last year? And that's where, and I really, really do, and I've said it a million times, like Pat Shermer and thought that this was the right hire. But how can you, as the head coach...
But I don't know if it's his fault because he's got no other alternative.
But he came in, he's supposed... I've seen head coaches change locker rooms like that, change cultures like that. He didn't... it's worse.
But Gio, he's got a quarterback that is an albatross in today's NFL.
He's got players going out there on ESPN with putting their names on like Odell and then other guys who don't, that are anonymous sources, trashing the quarterback. I mean, I'm sorry,
but everybody's trashing the quarterback, and unfortunately, I've lived the life. I know what it's like. I hate being public enemy number one.
Room's toxic.
I want to go deeper into the weeds and see what the problem is. But the problem is that the team does not have confidence in their quarterback, and they know it. And they all think that he's getting over, that he's making his $22 million, and they're all looking at each other going, for what?
Yeah.
I mean, they're watching Carson Wentz run all over the place. They're watching Cam Newton throws two interceptions, run all over the place, and still beat them. I mean, they're watching quarterbacks around the league like Patrick Mahomes and even Sam Darnold last week. He only completed 10 passes, but how about the 10 passes that he completed the field?
Right, touchdown passes.
So they're watching Baker Mayfield energize the Browns. They're watching Josh Allen run all over the place and make plays for the Buffalo Bills, even though they're not that good. I mean, so they see all that. They hear all that. And the first foray or the crack in all of that was last week's interview with Odell Beckham Jr., when he basically was asked, is it your quarterback? And he answers, I don't know.
Yeah, and now it's even worse. Is this Jordan Rannon, who is the ESPN beat reporter for the Giants, his big piece about the deterioration of Eli Manning, and there's anonymous quotes from players in there about specific things that Eli Manning doesn't do any longer.
But we all know that.
I know, but how many times has that happened? You always say this to me, right? Would that happen up with New England? Would you have guys in the press with anonymous quotes taking down someone who won two Super Bowls in the organization? And that's the stuff right there that even though you know it, we could say it here because we do a talk show.
This is what we do.
If you're running to reporters slamming your quarterback anonymously, that means that there's a problem in the locker room. There are huge problems with this team. They've got a toxic locker room.
Let me just tell you something. Those players are human beings just like everybody else is, just like we are.
So call your friend about it.
They only play 16 games. They only play 16 games, and every game means everything to everyone. And when these games continue to look like they did last year, because I believe there's one central figure that's in the middle of all of it, and that's Eli.
I agree, but I mean, Jordan Rannon's the only guy you could talk to about this? This is the problem
But they're all this. The human nature is to dump on somebody. So that's what's going on now. And I don't know what else to tell you. He underthrew Odell last night. He threw behind people again last night. He overthrew people again last night.
It was terrible. There's no defending him.
It was awful. But when you watch Carson Wentz, you can't sit here and tell me that he was not under duress at times. He was under duress in the first half. Olivier Vernon really was giving Jason Peters all he could handle.
Right.
He was getting underneath him. He was pushing him back. He was, you know, Kareem Martin had a hell of a first half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reaching back there, you know, knocking the ball down. You can't tell me that he wasn't under duress. He was. But there were times where he got away and he made plays down the field. You know, unfortunately, that's the NFL today. The energy has to come from the center of the football team, and the center of the football team, whether we like it or not. And I've been the center of a football team on both bad teams and good teams. I know that it emanates from my position. And when you are making over $22 million and you'll make over $250 million in your career, you have to give more.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Right. And
Gio, you and I sat here when you first got this job and it was announced that you were going to get the job, and we started in January of this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We sat here. We talked about the Jets, the Giants. We talked about, you know, what their futures hold, what they need to get done. You know, the Giants were playing with a 16-year backup veteran quarterback in Josh McCown. I mean, the Jets were, and he was better than Eli was.
Yeah, right. No, there's no, hands down.
And I don't know how many times I said it. If I said it 1,000 times, I said it 10,000 more times that they should have drafted Sam Darnold.
Yep.
They should have.
Right, there at least be hope. There's no hope.
As great as Saquon Barkley is.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because you know what? The Dallas Cowboys have a great running back of their own. Right,
yeah,
Ezekiel Elliott.
Right,
what is going on down there?
I mean, it's
the same thing that's going here.
Right,
it's the guy behind center that is the guy that either makes the guys better around him or holds back the guys around him.
And you can't tell me, and we haven't talked about him a ton yet this morning, but you can't tell me that the Giants don't regret giving Odell Beckham Jr. that contract. And this guy, yeah, he's not out there getting suspended for criminal things. Yes, I can hear that argument a million times. I already have. But this guy is a bad teammate. He is a bad teammate, and he is part of the problem. And once again, this is the person who galvanized the team in a loss to the Carolina Panthers after going on TV without his team's permission to slam the city, slam the organization, slam the quarterback with a rapper sitting next to him, goes out there last night, not only leaves the field prior to that final play where they had a shot at a Hail Mary at the end of the half, leaves the field and comes up with some BS excuse about getting an IV. Nonsense. He was acting like a baby, and he left the field because he was ticked off, and he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. And then we got to see him doing these other antics where he's putting on a show for everybody, because that's what he does. He doesn't turn around and scream like behind the bench. He's always got to do it so you can see it, throws his helmet down, screams, and then goes up to an air conditioning unit. Maybe it was a ductless mini split from Samsung. I don't know. But he goes up to the thing, and he starts punching it and headbutting it for everybody to see, because Odell Beckham Jr. is so frustrated because he's so much better than everybody else. Screw him. Screw him. The Giants shouldn't have given him the money. They made a mistake. He's a bad teammate, and he's going to hurt you more than he's going to help you. And that was evidenced back-to-back weeks. And if he got fined by the team for acting like that and then came out and did the same damn thing, acting like that on the sideline, showing people up, leaving the field. You want to tell me that you're with your brothers? How many times do you hear that? I've never been closer to the team than I have been now. Bullcrap. You left them out on the field for a play. You left them and went into the locker room early. And you're closer to your brothers than you ever have been? Give me the IV excuse. Give me videotape of him getting the IV in the locker room. I'd love to see it. No, he's a baby. He's a baby that left early. And I hate the excuses that are being made for him. That's a bad teammate. I'm telling you, they'd be better off if he didn't play the rest of the year. I'm serious about that. And he's a bad influence on Saquon Barkley, too.
You all right?
I'm fine. It's just we got all these teams suck. And then Boston, what do they have? Right? Sunday night, they've got the Red Sox on, playing the Astros in the ALCS. They've got the Chiefs and the Patriots up there. It was all the success that they have.
Celtics.
They've got the Celtics who are going to win the Eastern Conference with their eyes closed. And what do we have? Garbage after garbage after garbage after garbage.
They got the Bruins. Don't forget the Bruins.
I couldn't name a Bruin if you put a gun to my head.
Oh, yeah, you could. The guy who licks people's faces.
Oh, yeah, Brad Marchand.
Yeah, you know him.
Is Tuukka Rask still
there?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Is Zdeno Chara still playing?
Yes.
All right. So
look at you. You know your sports
Bergeron.
Talk. Yes.
Bergeron still there?
Yep. Pastrnak.
Okay.
Right?
So I knew a couple Bruins.
Yeah. More than that. But I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying, because the football here right now, especially last night, leaves a lot to be desired. I don't know what else to tell you. I thought last night, and I don't know, I guess I was fooled. I guess I was fooled by last week's game in Carolina. I thought we were going to see an incredible effort. And I thought the defense early on was giving that effort. I saw
Olivier
Vernon was getting back there. I saw Kareem Martin getting back there. I saw guys making tackles.
And then they gave up because they didn't have a shot and decided, you know what, we don't need to play anymore because we're not going to win the game.
And last night was proof positive as to why this league is a quarterback-driven league. It just is, folks. That's the way it is. If your guy is good and he is healthy and he is moving around, he is going to make plays for you. And that's exactly what Carson Wentz did last night. He had his best game back. He was talking the last 4 days after their loss to Minnesota over the weekend, how we got to get our game back together. We got to do this. I was afraid he was going to try to do too much. But he was, again, running again, diving places, right?
Oh, yeah.
That just inspires the whole team.
Well, exactly, especially in that situation, because that was the first time he really looked like himself. And that was one of the points that I brought up in making the pick, was the fact that he's going to get better and better every single week that he comes back, and eventually he's going to look like the MVP player that he was last year.
He was, you know, and I know they have a better offensive line than the Giants do, but you know what? I mean, there is no life. It is a listless offense, and then as the game goes on, and there's another three and out, there's another missed pass, there's a sack and a fumble. That's the other thing that Troy pointed out last night, the amount of fumbles that Elias had. And I know sometimes you get hit, and the ball's going to get fumbled because those defensive guys are going to go after it, but it's the inordinate amount of fumbles, the inordinate amount of interceptions that have been thrown, and there's only one common denominator.
He stinks.
There's one common denominator, right? This is his third coach now.
Yeah.
This is another offense. This is a team that, you know, according to Dave Gettleman, they were all in on Eli. And it's the only reason that, Dave, I believe that I knew that Gettleman would get the job simply because he knows how the Giants run their business aspect of the team. And as somebody that is close to the Giants and somebody who knew how they run it internally and somebody that was all in on Eli because he saw what happened here, he took the job. And I would have done the same thing. And then Pat Shurmur, you know, was a terrific offensive coordinator up there in Minnesota. Did all the right things, pushed all the right buttons. He's a very smart coach.
Pat Shurmur.
But he had to inherit Eli. That was part of the. And I tell you right now, I bet you that Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia both said, "We ain't taking this if we have to."
I mean, go back to that time. You're so right about it. Absolutely.
I'm not accepting this guy as my quarterback.
He stinks.
Remember how much we were talking about that 6.5 Giants over under number? Oh, it's a lock. That 6.5 is going to be a lock. Oh, they're not getting there. Under. So I guess here's the good news. You can start looking at the quarterbacks for next year's draft.
Yeah, I already started doing
they're,
that.
They're okay. Going to be right up there again. So they'll have their opportunity. You know, maybe they'll take a fullback this time with the second overall pick.
I just felt like they whiffed on who I thought was the perfect guy for that team. The perfect person. They whiffed on him. And to the Jets' benefit.
Yeah, you can take losses like this when you've got a future at the quarterback position. It's much harder to take when you don't know where this franchise is going.
He is below average.
And I will say this, that they were right on Saquon Barkley. He is spectacular. He is spectacular. He is a human highlight film. He is a Hall of Famer, assuming that he makes it and he lasts and he doesn't get hurt, because he may, because he's doing all the heavy lifting right now. And by the way, your boy Odell, another muff punt last night.
Of course.
I mean, you know.
Guys.
It is 1-5 is ugly, man. It is ugly, especially when it looks like that, and especially when it's in front of your home fans, and especially this was akin to the 16-1 beatdown by the Red Sox over the Yankees.
Is there a team that's a bigger embarrassment in the NFL than the New York Giants right now? And I know that we're here in New York, and I know that we talk about them more. Is there a team that is a bigger embarrassment than the Giants are right now?
Well,
it's impossible. There isn't.
I don't think there is. But you know, unfortunately for the 49ers, they lost Garoppolo. Tampa Bay has not been great. Atlanta at least is scoring points, although they're giving up a ton of points.
But do they have the Raiders off the field issues?
The Raiders are a little bit goofy.
All right, they're goofy, but do they have off the field issues stuff? Well, like what's going on with Odell?
Nobody has that, not that I know of.
Well,
nobody
the Steelers, but at least they're still in it. You know, the Steelers are still in it, and they've got a division game right now. So the Steelers would be the closest one.
I mean,
2-2-1, not 1-5.
At least Odell Beckham Jr. is not throwing furniture out his window. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, I don't want him to hurt anybody. I mean, you know, Antonio Brown's throwing furniture out of his window.
Allegedly.
They got the Le'Veon Bell problem. They got this problem, that problem, and everything else. I don't know, but yeah, Odell is, man, he's walking a fine line, man. I really don't know what you would do if you are Pat Shurmur in this situation with him walking off the field again.
I know.
I mean, why does he need a so-called IV? Nobody else needs one?
I know. Come on. Doesn't need an IV. I mean, it wasn't even hot last night. You want to tell me it was like 90 degrees? Fine.
And I'm sure he walked off
because he's a baby.
And I'm sure somebody out there will try to minimize this. Oh, what's the big deal? At the end of the day, there are certain unwritten rules, and there are certain things that you'd like to think as a football player you live by when you're in uniform with your teammates. And walking off the field before halftime is a no-no. It's just a no-no unless you are hurt. It is a no-no.
Especially when all week you talked about how close you were to your brothers. I've never been closer to my brothers, but I'll leave him out there for a play so I can go into the locker room early.
He's really bizarre, man. He's like a strange guy. He's like in an alternate universe, and yeah. I don't know. Does he want to be a celebrity, or does he want to be a good teammate and the reason why you're winning? I know he's frustrated. I can understand why, because we're talking about it. And all the fans will be talking about it. And all the people within the NFL know exactly what the Giants' problems are. They start at the quarterback position. They just do. It's obvious.
Giants are 1-5. Their season is over as well. You got two seasons die this week with the Yankees and the Giants. Unfortunately, the Giants have to keep playing games.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.